Well, good morning. We are continuing this 40 days of blessing. It's really about 42 days of blessings. We are in today, I think this is day 35, if I've counted correctly. We've encouraged you to have at least 7 minutes a day with God and using your 40 days prayer guide, seeking and asking God and repeating God's word back to God as a prayer request on your behalf for yourselves, seeking repentance and purity, seeking God's blessings, seeking His will in your life, and then seeing a panorama of just a 40 plus selected verses of Scripture, which give us a deep sense of the many passages in God's Word where God promises blessings to His people. We've had 6 of the 7 Sundays of blessing. Don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be a celebration Sunday. We're going to be sharing testimonies and review of some of these experiences. We've had 6 of the 7 blessing opportunities. The next one will be the Great Turkey Takeout, which will be next Sunday night. We will be providing a Thanksgiving meal to 100 needy families in our community. Don't miss out on that. We've had 6 of 7 Wednesday opportunities of prayer. In our time together on these Sundays, we've talked about the beholding the blessing, asking for the blessing, discovering the life God blesses. We found unexpected blessings. We've experienced family blessings. We've heard blessing testimonies all through these services. And today we'll be blessed again with another testimony from one of our own. Let's watch the screen together as we see this testimony this morning.
Good morning. It's our privilege to have another 40 days of blessing testimony. And this morning we have a sweet couple to share. And James, tell us your name and how long you and your wife have been a member of Mimosa Lane Baptist Church.
My name is John Patton. This is my wife, Virginia. We've been we have joined Mimosa Lane 5th October of 2001.
Well, James, I know you're involved in the deaf ministry and that Jesus has been a part of your life a long time. Could you tell your church family when you became a Christian and how that happened?
I became a Christian at the age of 14. I stopped the cross at the Christian camp in Tyler, Texas.
Christian camp? Yeah. You know, we've been talking about how God blesses our lives. Can you tell your church family maybe some personal ways that God has blessed you in your ministry or your family in a particular way?
Yes, God has blessed us in several ways. One is we have a wonderful church family. I've been blessed by the members of this church and Mimosa Lane. And I've been blessed because I have full support from the staff. Also, God has blessed us with a family. We have a family that comes to the church. My whole family comes to the church. And also, deaf ministry. You know, God has blessed us with the deaf ministry. And I see the deaf are really, you know, wanting to grow with the Lord, have a relationship with Jesus Christ in their life. And also, God has blessed me with an outreach with a deaf child, Mesquite Tarver. I've seen some deaf, growing in the Lord, because I share God's word with them, and they ask the question about my relationship with the Lord. I have the opportunity to minister in the Word, and it was a good way to reach out to the deaf.
How many people come, how many deaf come to Starbucks once a month?
We have about 40 to 50.
40 to 50 every month. Very good. How do you hope God continues to bless the deaf ministry here at Mimosa Lane?
My hope is that the deaf continue, to reach out to other deaf and bring them to Mimosa Lane. And also, I encourage the deaf to be coming to church on Sunday mornings. I teach deaf Bible study Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. That's a good way to share God's word with the deaf. So that way they can reach out to their deaf and bring them to church. That's my hope. Also, I emphasize mostly on prayer. And I try to encourage the deaf in prayer.
I want you to tell this story about the class recently and what the young lady said. She stood up and wanted to serve.
Yes, we were talking about the deaf and hearing coming together, and that our dream would be that the deaf and hearing cultures come together in our church and become one. And this deaf girl, she all excited, she said, "How can I serve the hearing?" And I thought that was so cool, because usually you think, I want to serve the deaf, but this is a deaf person and she really wants to get involved and serve the hearing, and it blessed my heart.
Well, I want you to know, James and Jenny, that you are a blessing to us, and we want to continue to attempt to be a blessing to you. And thank you for sharing of God's grace in your life with your church family this morning. We appreciate both of you doing that. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. James, stand up. Jenny. There you go. Yeah, no, this is how you do it now. If you're going to celebrate, there you go. There you go. Thank you for sharing your testimony this morning, and most of all for sharing your lives with us. We are blessed by being a part of your family and your life. Those many years ago when they visited our church and we were still in the other facility, Jenny came up to me one Sunday, and I guess it was probably the first time they were there, and she said, "Is it okay if I sign for my husband?" And I said, "Well, sure." And she hadn't stopped since then. I tell you what, so we praise the Lord for that ministry. Amen. Just recently, James had an opportunity to go to a conference for the deaf, and he shared in an evangelistic service, even for youth. And the speaker that was sharing, James was doing some signing for, and asked him to come up and to share in a drama so he could use him as a part of his presentation. And James got to play the part of Jesus, which was a good thing. And the Lord used that opportunity to lead, I think it was 5 young people that day and 3 the next day to faith in Christ. And so praise the Lord, James. Thank you for being a servant and being used of God. Amen. Well, we continue this study in blessings, and you notice the title of the message today is Barriers to the Blessing. Barriers to the Blessing. Guys, there's a hum up here, and it's not me, so if you can fix that, I'd appreciate it. We are reminded on numerous occasions that although that we can miss out on what God wants to do in our lives because of self-imposed barriers that somehow become hurdles for us or for God, because God, there are certain things that God will not bless. There are unconditional blessings, absolutely, that God's going to do what He's going to do in spite of what we may do in response. But then there are many of God's blessings which are conditional blessings. They require an open heart, a responsive life, an obedience, a surrender, a submissiveness to the full lordship of His will in our lives for Him to flood our lives with His very best. God's blessings are free because they come through the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. But God's blessings are never forced on a life. God's blessings are massive and many, but still they can be missed if we are not prepared to receive them, if we do not choose to identify and remove the barriers from our lives. We've known of people publicly, and sometimes very prominent individuals, and sometimes maybe you've known several personally, who, as we see them on the human level, in their as they move into adulthood, we look at some young people, men and women, who are unusually gifted, sharp, capable, talented, with the world before them, and we think to ourselves, oh, what great potential they have for the kingdom of God to develop and to grow and to be mature and to be used as great instruments of God, because God has equipped them in unusual ways. And yet we've known people that have taken their great opportunity and squandered them, becoming a wasteland of missed blessings because they created barriers in their own lives that caused them to miss out on God's best for them. We too can be a person just like that. How many of God's blessings maybe have you missed out on? What are these barriers? Turn with me, please, to the text of Scripture listed for you in your worship notes. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. We will read through the first part of verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, and according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. Three things out of this text that we want to focus on this morning. And even before these points, you need to understand the sense of the book of Ephesians as Paul writes to these believers. The crux, the centerpiece, the focus of this text, as well as the premise of the whole book, as well as the centerpiece of all the Bible, is the theme in Christ. You've seen it repeatedly stated in those brief verses. In him, in Christ, through him, in Christ, of him, in Christ. The whole essence, listen to me, the whole essence of experiencing the fullness of the blessings of God are determined based on how much you allow the Christ in you to be the Christ all through you. To live in the lordship, the fullness, the surrender, the walk of Jesus Christ in your life. Every blessing of God comes through his Son in Christ. And if you want to experience the fullness of God, you will experience the fullness of his Son in your life. But we can allow, either ignorantly or consciously, barriers to come up in our lives to cause us to miss what God has already paid to give us in his blessings. First of all, the barrier of our flesh. The barrier of our own flesh. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, these verses. Therefore be imitators. It doesn't mean to be a fake. It means to follow in the footsteps of. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity. Why would Paul have to change the sense of such a positive affirmation of being followers of Christ by injecting all these negative statements? Because he's being directed by the Spirit of God and he must tell the truth about our condition. He's saying it because that is the essence of our nature. He knows us as we are. But, he says in this text, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. You see very clearly that Paul's implication is this. These things should not be named among followers of Jesus Christ, but they can be, they will be, if we don't make a conscious effort to not let them be manifest in our lives. If it wasn't a possibility for saints to manifest carnal fleshly living, Paul wouldn't need to state it. If it was an automatic, he's wasting his time. But he's telling us the way we are. Paul's words of instruction are convicting and clear. To walk in love by living a life of sacrificial offering to God. He moves from this positive affirmation to very negative conviction. How do we do that? By not living according to the desires of our flesh. Paul states that to live unto God, we should not live for ourselves. Key statement, key theme, key truth. If you want the fullest blessings of God, don't live according to your desires, but live according to God's desires. He moves from a clear affirmation of what we should do as imitators of God to a convicting negation of what we should not do. These verses just read out of Ephesians 5, 1 through 4 are just a brief reading of a longer list that Paul uses to paint the picture of the things within us that become a barrier for us fully experiencing the fellowship of God to become imitators of God. The list is long. We didn't have time to read much of the rest of the text, but let me give you a brief listing. Immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, covetousness, disobedience, deceit, falsehood. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, one phrase says. Bitterness, anger, slander. Know something. This is just a suggestive list. It's not a comprehensive list. The barriers to God's blessings, this is the key. The barrier to God's blessings in my life are in me. The barriers to God's blessings are me. It's not just what I do. It's who I am. We do who we are. People say that silly phrase, they misspeak and go, oh, I don't know where that came from. I do from you. If it wasn't in you, it wouldn't have come out. The barrier. What causes me to miss the fullness of God? I do. Not circumstances. Not difficulties, not other people, not bad luck, not karma. There's no such thing as bad luck. Luck is a humanistic term. It's providential blessings. It's the sovereign movement of God. There is no good luck and bad luck from a Christian perspective. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's not chance. I don't miss God's blessings because life is hard, because of difficult circumstances. You see, if you and I would get out of the way, die to ourselves, no matter the circumstances externally, we can still enjoy God's best. A missionary, Benjamin Weir, was held hostage in Lebanon some years ago under miserable conditions for 16 months. After his release, the first interview was given, and they asked him how he spent his time during those miserable conditions, and how did he learn to cope? His response was quick and clear. He said, by counting my blessings. He said, my days were filled with counting the blessings of things that I know God had done, will do, and is going to do. And I praised him for it, and even learned to see the blessings of God in the little things that he was allowed to experience, even in the midst of his imprisonment. He said when we were given a few extra vegetables in our food, that was a glorious blessing. When we were allowed to take a bath, that's a glorious blessing. I mean, he was proclaiming in the practical things of his life as an extension of the grace of God. If blessings were not experienced in the midst of life's worst experiences, the Apostle Paul, who penned this letter, could not have said, I've learned how to have a lot, I've learned how to have nothing, and yet in everything I've discovered that God is more than sufficient to meet every need that I have. Blessings. Listen, you can be miserable in a mansion or happy in a hut, as the group from Africa can attest, if your heart is right. If your heart is right. I want you to ask yourself briefly this morning, what is it in you that's causing you to miss some of God's best blessing in your life today? For some, it's baggage from history, experiences in the past that you've let creep into the present, you've not let go. For some, it could be bitterness of heart towards someone that mistreated you. Maybe it was absolutely unjust. Okay, give it to God and let it go. Is it a thought process? Are you believing lies about yourself? That you're a worthless piece of trash and God has no use for you and He can't use you? That is a lie from the pit of hell. Let it go. If it's a habit, if it's an addiction, if it's a compulsion, if it's a secret sin, give it to God and turn from it and ask His grace and let it go. What is it in you and in me that's the barrier for God's best in my life? Not only that, but the barrier of faithlessness. The barrier of faithlessness. Notice Ephesians chapter 3 verses 11 through 13. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are for your glory. And then Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, Paul's words are clear. The doorway of faith and trusting God is the doorway through which we came to our relationship with God. But we can also struggle in our perpetual belief in God in the now. Somehow we go, God's forgiven me of my sin. I know He's going to take care of all my tomorrows. Eternity is a done deal. I'm secure in Him. But how's your faithfulness to God in the now? In the today? In the valley? In the crux of your life at this moment? Faithlessness can result from life's hurts or the loss of hopes. Problems in our life or problems in the lives of others. You notice Paul specifically said, as he was giving testimony to the Ephesians, he said, don't lose heart by my suffering. I shared this story recently. I don't know why it's gotten next to my skin. In the latest edition, I believe it's of the Baptist Standard, the state paper, there was an article in there about a Christian singer. I can't even tell your name. I would have brought this, but I wouldn't plan on using it. God brought it to my mind. Her picture was in there. And they're telling about, she looks like she's 15, but, you know, after you're 50, everybody looks 15. But she, do I hear a witness, somebody? But she's married and got twin, I think, little boys or maybe little girls. And I didn't know her, didn't recognize her songs, but she's apparently very prominent. And they were asking her about her life. And she told an interesting story. She said, you know, some time ago I was watching an episode of Law and Order, you know, one of those series on TV. And the gist of the story was, it was about child slavery and prostitution as it impacted New York City. And she said, after seeing that episode, she said, I thought to myself, that's just a TV show. It can't be that way. So she said, I went online and began to do some research about child slavery and children prostitution, where children are actually captured and sold to other people just for the use of sex slaves as little children. And she said, I came to find out it was true. There's a global market for that. And she said she even discovered that apparently 14,000 children a year are sold in the United States as sex slaves. And she talked about going to India, to Mumbai, and going to what we would call the red light district of that city, the soil, filthy, horrid place where you buy and sell everything under the stars or under the moon. And she said she was walking down this filthy street, and she looked over, and there was a little child in a cage. And she said, as I stopped and looked at that little child in this cage, the little child looked out and caught my eyes. Several feet away. And she said, after I left that place, I've never forgotten that look from that child. I told my wife, I said, you know what? It's that kind of experience that can ruin your retirement. If you don't know what I'm saying, when you get so stirred, pulled into the suffering of someone else, and you go, God, I cannot not do something about that. And she started a foundation to try to minister to kids. You see, we can lose faith not only what happens to us. We can lose faith by seeing what happens to others. There are people who reject faith in God because they say, if God's good, then why is the world like it is? I'm not going to believe Him because it's too much of a mess. I want to go. That's why you need to believe in Him, because it's so much of a mess. Faithlessness. You see, the purpose of faith is protective. It's proactive. It's productive. God wants us to be people who believe God for the long haul. I thought of this story. William Bright, born October the 19th, 1921, was born into an Oklahoma family. William described himself as a happy pagan in his youth. He graduated from Northeastern State University in Oklahoma with an economics degree. And in his early 20s, he moved to Los Angeles, California, and founded a company called Bright's California Confections. In 1944, while attending the First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, California, Bill Bright became a Christian. He immediately immersed himself in biblical studies. He wanted to know what this God was like that he had just trusted, and he immersed himself in the study of the Word of God, which led him to graduate studies at Princeton and Fuller Theological Seminary. And it was while as a student at Fuller that he felt the call of Christ. As he read Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go ye therefore to all nations, teaching them to observe all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. That became a commission for his life. And he said, I am going to do all I can to help God to be a part of what God's doing to fulfill that commission. During the decades to follow, Bill and his wife, Vonette, remained faithful to God's call in their lives. And they established what became known as Campus Crusade for Christ. Now there are more than 26,000 full-time staff members and over 225,000 trained volunteers in over 191 countries as a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, sharing Jesus to the world. He authored more than 100 books and booklets, thousands of articles and pamphlets. When he was 78 years of age, God gave him a fresh burden to raise up 1 million spiritual leaders around this world. You see, God had ruined his retirement. And when he was 78 years of age, he began to take one 40 days period each year and fast and pray for 40 days that God would raise up 1 million Christian leaders around this world to take the Great Commission. He did not see that come to fruition when he was 82. The Lord said, "Bill, it's time," and called him home. He was faithful to the end. There is one single requirement for a steward of God. You know what it is? The Bible says, "Behold, it is required of a steward that he, she be found faithful." What God does with your faithfulness is his business. But lack of trusting God in the now is one of the greatest barriers for you and I experiencing the best of God's blessings. And then the last point, and I close. The barrier of fruitlessness. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God..." Oh, I love that. "But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." We didn't do it. God did it. "By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where are you seated right now? Spiritually, not in Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now by faith. "To come that we should show the, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." And then Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should, would, walk in them." You know how to miss God's blessings? Do nothing. As they used to say in the old revival services, just sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. That's how you miss it. You're not about the good works that God's called you to do. Let me ask you today, where's the fruit of your faith in Christ? What can you point to in your life that is an expression of the eternal work of God that's connected to the kingdom of God? It may be prayer. It may be how you parent. It may be a job. It may be you teach Sunday school. It may be you change diapers in the nursery, but you love those babies in the name of Jesus and build a relationship with the parents, and it becomes a mission and a ministry. Everyone should have something or some things that we recognize as the work of God through our lives. Students, you don't have to wait till you graduate. God is working all around your life right this minute. You just need to discover how and join Him with all that you are. Let's bow together in prayer. My Father, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. We